Nehemiah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 1. Good to be in the Lord's house again today. Good to have Living Proof back. Good to have them back safely with us. Absolutely. Appreciate the excitement today in the Lord's house about everything accomplished over the last week. Thankful for the giving, faithful giving of God's people that ultimately enables us to be able to move forward with things like this. Appreciate everyone that has helped also, and more things to do going forward. So if you haven't specifically been asked to do anything just yet, your time is probably coming, so don't feel left out. Don't feel left out at all. Your time is more than likely coming where your experience or expertise in some way, shape, or form will be needed. But just thankful for everything the Lord has done, and good to be in the Lord's house today. Nehemiah chapter 1, I went to the wrong bookmarker. I was getting ready to start over this morning's message in the book of Galatians. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, and we'll begin reading. We're going to read the whole first chapter, 11 verses. Don't get too scared tonight, just 11 verses. And we're looking at being a visionary. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left are of the captivity there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity once again to gather in your house. I ask you to be with those unable to be here today. Just ask you just to heal them up, strengthen them, encourage them. And just ask you, Lord, just to be with them in a special way. Just encourage them. I ask you, Lord, to be with those here tonight. And I just ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. I hope to be a help to your people tonight about just being a visionary. We don't want to just be dreamers. We want to be visionaries. And I just ask you, Lord, just to help us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're looking at, or tonight we're looking at being a visionary. And Nehemiah was indeed a visionary. And it would be great if the Lord had more visionaries. Oftentimes a vision begins as a concern. We just read Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And in verses 1 through 3, we see essentially the concern of Nehemiah. We read the report as it was told to Nehemiah. We see his concern in verse 4. When I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want to add this. If you can go through life unfazed and unbothered by anything, you'll never be used of God to make a difference. You'll never be used to anybody to make a difference, for that matter, because it takes concern. If you can go to the workplace and have no concern at the workplace, then you're probably not going to accomplish a whole much at the workplace. If you're going to be an American and you're not going to have concern about your nation, about your country, you're probably not going to make much of a difference in that land either. But when it comes to the things of God, if we can look out at society and look out in culture and we're unfazed, we're unbothered, then we can just go ahead and scratch ourselves from the list of making a difference. We've looked before at Habakkuk. We went through a couple of lessons in Sunday school. Brother Keith taught on it once also. But you think about Habakkuk and how Habakkuk was a man with a burden. I remember Brother Sexton saying once that no man is ever greatly used of God without a burden. You know, oftentimes God burdens us about something because there's something that we can do about it. I don't believe God places unnecessary burdens on us. I don't believe that at all. The Lord burdens us about something. He's burdened us about it for a reason. There's something that we can do about it, even if it's just giving it back to Him in prayer. Sometimes the Lord just wants people to pray about something because we're not. So He wants us to pray about it. Sometimes He burdens us about revival because He wants people to pray for it. So if you want to do something and you're not doing it, but you have the desire to do it. Now, how many times does that happen? We know we should be doing something, but we don't have the desire. We know it's right. We know it's good, but we don't have the desire. We'll go to the one who can grant us those desires. Ask God to give you a burden if you don't have one. And you'll do all you can because you're burdened. Nehemiah was so concerned. He took all of this personally. But even though Nehemiah had a vision of what needed to be done, it took some time in order for him to be able to do something about it. Which brings us to this point. A vision doesn't always mean that it has to be right now. Sometimes it takes time. Oftentimes it takes time. How many of you may see something in your own lives that needs to be done, could be done, it may in your personal lives, but God hasn't opened up that next door. Maybe you're praying about a lost loved one or a lost coworker. You envision the day they trust Christ, but you're waiting on the next door. You're not just a dreamer. You're not just dreaming that one day they get saved. You're trying to be a visionary about the whole thing, and you want God to use you to help see them come to know Christ as Savior. Sometimes in life, while waiting on the next door, sometimes that's where we get it wrong. Something concerns us. We knee-jerk our way through trying to find a solution. No prayer, no preparation, no planning. Through impatience, at times we barrel our way through. But Nehemiah wasn't like us. He waited patiently. Some of us would have been at the wall yesterday, you know, and sometimes that's the way we are. We see a need. We don't necessarily wait to see if it's for us to meet that need. Some of us would have perhaps been at the wall yesterday, tools in hand, lunch packed, ahead of God, and out of line. You know, a vision can oftentimes involve things that are down the road, so to speak. You see it, yes, and you know it's coming, but it takes time. It takes the Lord working out the details. It takes the Lord working out the situation. And it takes God working in our hearts and in our lives to prepare us for what the vision would entail. You know, there's been times where I've seen things out in front of me. I felt it was the Lord's will. I felt like there are things that are further down the road. But you know what? Sometimes we exclude the fact in our planning that the Lord has some work to do on us before we ever end up there, before we ever begin to experience those things. Sometimes we think we know what we're ready for sometimes, but the Lord knows what we're ready for. I'll be honest with you. When I was leaving Caesarea, you know, and the Lord had was leading us on. You know, I had a certain image in my mind of what I was looking for in terms of people size and things as far as churches and building, you know, and things like that. I had in my mind what I was thinking. And you know what? Maybe the Lord has those things for us here at some point on down the line. Maybe so. But it wasn't the Lord's will for me then. The Lord has me here. The Lord has me here and now. You know, the Lord prepares us for what the vision's going to entail. So a visionary has to be patient. Now, patience is hard for us at times because we see it. We see it. And maybe the Lord has placed it in front of us. Because if He don't place things out in front of us, we're not going to pursue what is out in front of us. So He places things out in front of us for us to pursue those things. So in looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, Nehemiah heard about the condition of Jerusalem. There was nothing he could do physically at this time to remedy the situation. It seemed as if in his mind that he was in the wrong place, wrong job, working for the wrong guy. But Nehemiah was an idol. That's the worst thing you can do in a season of waiting is to do nothing. You know, it amazed me during the time that the Lord was moving us on from Caesarea, and I knew that the Lord was doing that work in our hearts. And it was a tough place to be because the Lord had dried up the vision for that place. And that was a hard place to be when you've gone through your ministry as a visionary. The Lord has put things in front of you. You've gone out, you've tackled those things, you've climbed those mountains, and you've tackled certain things. The Lord's used you to bring about things that wasn't somewhere previously. Then the Lord begins to move you on, and then He dries up the vision. Oh, I hated that place. That was the most miserable I've been in the ministry because I felt like I was standing still is what I felt like. I felt like I was maintaining. Felt like I wasn't moving forward, and I was just maintaining. I'm not a maintainer. That's not me. That's not my nature. I move forward. I think it's good for things to be changed, and I think it's good for the church to be growing and evolving in different ways. We're just busy. Go home. Even prior to the pastorate, I'd go to work during the day. I'd come home. How can we make our house better? How can we make our property better? How can we make our car run better? You know, just constantly trying to make things better. If we ever quit trying to make things better, things naturally are going to go downhill. Yes. It's going to get worse if we quit putting effort into making things better. And if we're going to make anything better, it's got to be the Lord's stuff before our stuff. So the worst thing we can do in a season of waiting is do nothing. Look at it this way. I often make conversation with people as I'm going about my business in different stores. Sometimes I'll ask them how their day's going, you know, if they're slow today, busy, whatever, just small talk. And usually they'll say steady. They always refer it to be steady. If it's too slow, it's agonizing. They're watching the clock. They can't wait to go home. If it's too fast, they're running all around trying to keep up. It's exhausting. Now, we've all experienced this at times. Steady's good. Your vision is to get done with the day. Your vision is to go home to your family. Steady keeps your mind off the clock. And we see in the life of Nehemiah that while he waited, he worked. The 4 months between hearing about the condition of the walls and finally being able to do something about it was a productive time for Nehemiah. We think about Paul in prison and the prison epistles. Paul could have just sat in prison and did nothing. If you're ever waiting, and I've never been to prison, but if you're ever waiting, it's in prison. You're waiting. And Paul, in that season of waiting, he said, I want to work. Nehemiah did two things to prepare for the time when God would lead him to pursue his vision. And first off, he prayed. Prayer is critical to vision development. It's been said that what we see what we're looking for and often miss what we don't expect to see. If you're going to see something, it helps if you're looking, eyes open, alert, paying attention. So what does prayer do? Prayer keeps us looking. It keeps our eyes open because the Lord is looking for us. Prayer keeps our eyes and our hearts in the expectant mode. And when God begins to move, we're only going to see it if we're ready and watching. Now, this is important, what I'm about to say. Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the wall. He prayed for an opportunity to rebuild it himself. Oftentimes, we got to be reminded, don't ask God to do what you and I could do. This could apply to a whole lot of areas. Sometimes we do it, and there's been times in my own life, Lord, help me lose weight. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? The same stuff. I'm just gonna throw it out there. I've gained weight over the last month. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Sitting around and didn't even think about it ahead of time that because I'm gonna be sitting around, I need to be eating less than what I was before. You can't eat the same amount in inactivity as you do in activity and not gain weight. People sitting around all day want to know why they don't lose weight. I'll tell you why you don't lose weight. Because I've been living it the last month. I'm telling you, we can't ask God to do stuff that we could do. I know a lot of people sitting around asking God to do what they could do. Nehemiah didn't do that. He didn't ask God to do what he could do. Notice this also. Nehemiah didn't ask God to send someone else to do what he could do. I know a lot of people who are willing for others. It's easy to volunteer others. It's harder to volunteer. But Nehemiah recognized that the vision was given to him by God. It wasn't for God to do by himself, and it wasn't for someone else to do. God gave it to Nehemiah for God to work through Nehemiah. And that's the difference between being a dreamer and a visionary. You know, an old preacher said once, he said, old men dream dreams and young men have the vision. It's an amazing thing to think about. And I know, and it was an older gentleman that relayed this quote to me, and he was also a pastor. And he said, I want to be an old man with vision. I don't want to just be an old man with dreams. But you know what tends to happen sometimes is we get to the place where our mind wants to, but our body can't. So then what are we left to do? Dream. We can't bring it about anymore. So we dream. But I invite you, even in that later stage of life, where most of your visions have turned into dreams, impart your vision into other people. Let them do it for you. That way you are working through people, and that way people are doing for you what you can't do anymore. Teach somebody. Train somebody. I was just thinking about this over this last week, Evan and Colton helping Brother Elsie with the platform over there and helping them with that. Them boys will always remember working with him for those couple of days on that platform, just learning from him and learning as he teaches them different things about construction and things like that. You know, it's important for older folks to take the younger people under their wings. There's going to be things that you can't do anymore, or maybe not as well anymore, but impart that to the younger generation. Share that with them. Again, God gave Nehemiah something for God to work through Nehemiah to accomplish. That's the difference between being a dreamer and a visionary. Dreamers dream about things being different. Dreamers dream. That's what they do. They sit around and dream. But what they dream will never be a vision until they get up and make it happen. So what's wrong with many Christians? Dreamers. What's wrong with many of our churches? Dreamers. And by the way, the Bible still says that without vision, the people perish. You got to have vision. You got a place full of dreamers led by a dreamer, they all going to perish. And the building with it. They'll be selling windows. It won't be a church anymore. They'll be selling windows. Fine to sit around and talk about how things used to be and how things could be, but never get up to make a difference. Visionaries envision themselves making a difference. Now, we know what this is like if you've ever played sports, even as a young person. I remember I was not the star on the basketball team. I played, but I wasn't the star. But before every game, I was going to score the most points. That's the way I looked at it. I went into the game, and I was going to score the most. Yeah. I was. And I was one of the physical types. I didn't have much finesse. I wanted to let them know early that I was there in the paint. You come down here, I'm going to get a couple real hard, quick fouls just to let you know that I'm in the paint. And that was my way of getting in their minds. Letting them know, I don't have much finesse, but I got body. And I'm going to be in the paint. And you drive on me, and I'm going to be there. And I'm going to catch an early charge, too. Let you know I'm coming. Now, I knew I wasn't the best player on the team. I was probably fourth. I started, but I was probably fourth on the team. Oh, but I dream big. But you know what? I can't help but think if I didn't go into the game with that kind of a mindset and that kind of vision, I might have been worse than what I was. A visionary sees God using them. A dreamer sees what God could do, but is fine to sit back and take no part and just say, I wish, I wish. Sometimes I want to tell people, and I have at different times, if you quit wishing and get busy, you could quit wishing. I hear people wish enough and not take enough steps to change their situation. That might be what gets said. They'd already have it. Known people who say, I want this, I want that, and this, that, and the other, but can't keep a job. Well, get one and keep one, and you'll have all the things you want. For the most part, quit wishing and get busy. Dreamers think about how nice it would be for something to be done. Visionaries look for an opportunity to do what needs done. Some time ago, we looked at the vision of the first century church. I believe it was in Sunday school, but it was a vision that was enlarged by God. Acts 26 and verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not obedient unto the heavenly vision. This is Paul speaking before King Agrippa as he's sharing his testimony before King Agrippa in Acts 26. Paul had a vision that was enlarged by God. You know, even though the vision that is enlarged by God a lot of times scares me and scares others when the Lord lays a vision out in front of them, I'm glad that it's not my vision. I wouldn't be up here if it was my vision, but it was a vision that was enlarged by God before me, which means it was something beyond me at that time, and the Lord had to develop me for it. When this vision from heaven was revealed to Paul, he obeyed. Paul hinged all his behavior on this heavenly vision. Heavenly vision is this: God has given you a vision, then you get tunnel vision. And you know what? There's times where I've been tempted at times. The Lord has called me to the ministry and he's called me to the pastorate. And there are times that opportunities are presented that would take my mind off of what the Lord would have for me to do. Distractions or things that would limit my ability. If I had a job outside of the pastorate, I don't need one, but if I had a job outside of the pastorate, I wouldn't be able to spend as much time as I did last week. There are so many things that take away from God's plan for our lives if we don't bring those thoughts into captivity and those opportunities into captivity and cast them down. When God gives you a vision, you got to get tunnel vision. You do all you can to bring about the vision under the Lord's leading while surrendering all that you can't do to the Lord and his timing. See, some have yet to enter the realm of the impossible because they've yet to enter the realm of the possible, which is doing all they can. God's not going to step in and do his part if we don't do ours. But oftentimes we want God to do something instead of us doing something. But God doesn't work that way. In seminary, Crown College, Brother Sexton would always say the life of one thing, just follow God. I've tried to keep the best of my ability and the Lord's help to keep the word out front, to keep the Lord out front, to keep my calling out front, keep the ministry out front, and focus on those things. And be reminded that it's a ministry is a family deal. It truly is. My boys also remember working with me a lot this last week in the ministry. It's a family thing. That's family time. I probably saw them more last week than I have at other times. All day. Sometimes I'm here and they're at the house. Or they're outside playing and I'm at the house. Or they're at school and I'm off somewhere else. Sun up, sun down. I always remember that. But that is family time. Work is also family time. Ministry done together as a family is also family time. We got to get away from the fact that if any work is involved with the family activity, then it's no longer a family activity. Or if it's not recreation, then it's not a family activity. Or if it don't involve some type of sport or ballet or theater, whatever it is, then it's not a family activity. No, ministry is also a family activity. God gives the vision. God allows you to see yourself accomplishing it ahead of time to prepare you for it. God does this. We serve a God of big vision, but our vision is limited to our humanity. At times. And if we submit to that, then we'll always stay within what we're comfortable with, what we think we can handle, while God casts a vision that is beyond us to extend us, to stretch us. It'll be one that'll take him to come through on. See, the Lord's not going to place a vision in front of me to go down the road and eat. That's not a vision that's enlarged by God. I can do that. I can do it. I can come through on that. There's a lot of things that we as humans, we can come through on. There's visions that we can create for ourselves that are pretty small and insignificant. Some that may challenge us just a little bit. We don't typically challenge ourselves. We typically need someone else to challenge us and then to submit to their authority. That's usually what we need. I say all the time, I don't need to go to the gym by myself. I need to go back to Marine Corps boot camp for 3 months. I need to submit to the authority of someone that has a much bigger vision for me than what I have for myself. And oftentimes that's what we need. To submit to a vision bigger than us, created by somebody bigger than us, and then submit to their authority. Notice also Nehemiah planned. Nehemiah thought about what needed to be accomplished, this vision, or at least get started. Now, planning is allowing the Lord to plan. Because your planning is only as good as His planning. You can plan without Him and then ask Him if you can do the thing, and He says no to the thing. He doesn't open the doors. Then you've wasted, and I've had this happen in the ministry. Somebody plan about something. Spend time, energy, effort, hours, money on something. And then come ask me if it was possible. I was like, no, we can't do that. Then what'd they do? They wasted all their time, energy, efforts, and money on something that wasn't even possible to begin with. And sometimes we do that with the Lord. We get something in our minds, and we run with it, and then we come to Him after the fact. What was all that planning at that point? A waste. We need to allow the Lord to plan. We can plan all we want, but our planning must be in line with God's planning. Or our planning is just a waste of time. A waste of energy, a waste of effort, a waste of thought process. And I tell you, none of us have unlimited energy. None of us have unlimited effort. I'm learning more and more. I nowhere near have unlimited thought process. So allow God to plan. This is important. When God has given us vision, we need to go ahead and start developing, allowing the Lord to develop a plan. Assuming you had the resources, what would you do? Assuming you had the time, what would you do first? It's amazing how even in a building project, a building remodel, there are steps to it. You do this before you do that. You do this before you do that. And sometimes you get the steps out of order, and then you got to, you know, go back and redo stuff at times because you failed the planning part. Nehemiah laid out steps on how to pursue the vision. So hone in on this. There's always more questions than answers and more obstacles than solutions. Now, sometimes we're reminded of that. Sometimes Sarah and I sit back and we'll sit on the chair at night carrying the last 3 or 4 months. We're both thinking about some of the same things. We've just not said it to each other yet. Then we sit down and just got more questions than we have answers. The list is long, but how? When? But why is this? Because we don't see the whole picture. Nehemiah, no doubt, felt like he was in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, working for the wrong guy. But God knew what he was doing. He had Nehemiah in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. God had given Nehemiah a place among the palace servants. Then he maneuvered him through the ranks of influential Persian officials so he'd be noticed for his integrity and trustworthiness. Eventually, he was recommended to the king and appointed as the position of cupbearer. And on the surface, it might have appeared that God was moving Nehemiah in a direction that would make it impossible to accomplish this vision. But actually, the opposite was true. God gave Nehemiah a job and a relationship that gave him the inside track to the king. God was working behind the scenes, putting everything in position. Notice something else, and I want to encourage you tonight. God is using your circumstances to position and prepare you to accomplish His vision for your life. God has a vision for everyone's life in here. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. If you're one of His, He has a vision for your life. And just as this was true for Nehemiah, it's also true in your life. Now, this is easy to see when you're looking back, but it always takes faith when looking ahead. See, we don't need faith looking backwards. We got sight backwards. We lived it. We walked it. We did that. We went through that. You don't need faith for backwards. You have sight for backwards. But we need faith in the present and looking forward. That the things that we're going through is for a reason, and the Lord's using them to shape us and mold us for the future, the vision that He has laid out in front of us. There's not a doubt in my mind. Everything, every difficult thing that this church has ever gone through, every difficult thing y'all have ever had to go through in your lives, and the difficult things we've had to go through in our lives, there's not a doubt in my mind that God will use every one of them for the vision that He has for our lives and for this church. He's going to use it. Every one of them. Often we can't see the connection between our circumstances and the vision that God has given us. Oftentimes we view them as setbacks. In a lot of ways, I've viewed this knee as a setback at times, but I've also seen how the Lord's used it. It's definitely a conversation starter. It definitely is. You see a young guy in a wheelchair with a knee brace on? And older folks who have issues are looking at me like, I'm one of them? But it's definitely a conversation starter. Like I was telling Brother Elsie, my boys wouldn't have done as much as they've done this week if I was at full health and full strength. But they've learned to use some power tools a little more, get more experience with them, climbing up the ladders, up and down. It's been good learning from them. The Lord knows what He's doing. He uses everything. Everything that happens to us is for a reason. We just have to trust Him and trust His reasoning and trust His plan. And I'm one of those, and again, because I believe that everything happens for a reason, and God is in control and that God is sovereign, because I believe that, I believe sometimes something like this, even though I might consider it a big deal at times, God could have used that to save me from something bigger. I've told y'all before, there was times we had little setback on a trip, and then you pass a bad accident at about the same amount of time that it took you in your incident. I mean, you never know. We just got to believe that the Lord is in control, that He's in charge, He knows what He's doing, what the things that He allows into our lives is for a reason. And it's not to hinder us. You've heard the term, sometimes you gotta slow down before you can speed up. Things like that. A lot of slogans along those lines. You know, sometimes we might look at 8 hours in the bed to go to sleep as a setback. We got stuff to do. We gotta sleep. Busy. Got work to do. You ask me, sleep is a monumental waste of time. Stuff to do. Gas station's a waste of time. You got to stop and get gas? I got somewhere I'm going. I'm trying to get there. I don't have time for gas. But I tell you what, you're going to be in a big setback if you don't sleep and if you don't get gas. When you need it, it's going to be an even bigger setback. And that happened to me in that truck here lately because my gauges are acting crazy. ran out of diesel, but I was right by somebody's house, and the guy gave me a diesel can or a gas can. And he said, don't worry about bringing it back. You can have it. And then a guy down the driveway, another way, he took me to the gas station to get diesel. And that whole, praise the Lord, but we were only on the side of the road for probably about 15 minutes. You can't beat that. And was back going, back on the road. You can't beat that. So, yeah, I learned that the hard way. What's even though I wasn't trying to get out of getting gas, truck was lying to me. But I've learned that the hard. Some things that are setbacks, we look at them as setbacks. Sometimes the Lord placed them across our path to save us from an even bigger whatever, fill in the blank. Even though it may not make sense to us on the surface, rest assured that God is working behind the scenes to position everything needed to accomplish the vision He's given us. And I'm thankful for that. God doesn't call us to something and then not equip us. I'm thankful for that. I'm sure many of you could testify that at some point you had a job where the boss gave you a task and then he did not equip you well to perform the task. God doesn't do that. And maybe sometimes it was through their ignorance. They just didn't know. Sometimes bosses don't know. They're human too. Sometimes they just don't know. But God doesn't have that problem. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly what we need to fulfill the calling that He has on our lives, to fulfill the vision that He has for us. If we surrender, He's going to equip us. And I'm thankful for that, and I praise Him for it. Lord, as we come before You, thank You for this opportunity once again.